Good evening. In the news tonight, New York State is poised to offer free tuition to students at public colleges whose families earn less than $125,000 a year.
College is a mandatory step if you really want to be a success.
The Congressional Black Caucus swears in a new leader, Louisiana Representative Cedric Richmond.
There is no question that this brother, Cedric Lavon Richmond, Generation X, is well suited and well prepared to lead us in confronting these new challenges.
And the Trump-Pence administration reaffirms its commitment to go after Obamacare.
We'll focus on repealing and replacing Obamacare. We'll look forward to legislation that will give us the tools to roll back the avalanche of red tape and regulation that have been stifling American jobs and growth.
With these and other stories in New York, I'm Linda Perry, and this is some of the news for Tuesday, January 3rd, 2016. New York State Governor Andrew Cuomo began a series of State of the State addresses today at LaGuardia Community College in Long Island City in Queens. He says the first issue he wants to address is the importance and the affordability of higher education. The governor says the good news is that there are 7.95 million jobs in the state today, more jobs than have ever existed in the history of the state of New York. But the bad news, according to the governor, is that 70% of those jobs require a college education.
And the truth is, if you want to offer everybody a fair shot, then you have to get up to date and you have to say what high school was 75 years ago, college is today. College is a mandatory step if you really want to be a success. And the way this society said, we're going to pay for high school because you need high school, this society should say, we're going to pay for college because you need college to be successful. And New York State is going to do something about it. And we're going to start this year the Excelsior Scholarship, which says very simply, free tuition to a state two-year school or a four-year school if you come from any family earning $125,000 or less, the state will provide free tuition. It's the first program. Thank you. It is going to be the first program like it in the United States of America. It's once again New York leading the way we did on raising the minimum wage, the way we did on paid family leave, the way we did on passing marriage equality, the way we did on gun safety, and it should be a wake-up call to this nation. To say, if you really want to be competitive globally, we have to have the best educated workforce, and that means we have to have college for every child, man or woman who wants to attend. Other countries have already done it. It's time this country catches up. It's time this country says to every citizen, you can be whatever you want to be in America.
Cuomo reaffirms the American dream in his first State of the State address as he introduces Brooklyn Public School graduate Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, who raised the issue of college affordability across the nation in his Democratic bid for president.
And let's give a big New York welcome to a Brooklyn boy, because you can take the boy out of Brooklyn, but you can't take Brooklyn out of the boy, Senator Bernie Sanders.
As a graduate of PS 197 in Brooklyn, as a graduate of James Madison High School in Brooklyn, one year at Brooklyn College, I am delighted to be here this morning. I think Bill and Governor Cuomo have laid out the issue. And the issue is that at a time when we have a president-elect who thinks it's a great idea to give hundreds of billions of dollars in tax breaks to the top 0.2%, we have a better idea. And that idea is to make public colleges and universities tuition-free for every person in New York State, in Vermont, and in America. Governor Cuomo made the point, and it's a point I believe, having gone all over this country talking about this issue, that Democrats, Republicans, independents understand. And that is, the economy has changed, technology has changed, the global economy has changed. And if we are going to do justice to the working families of this country, to low-income families, if we are going to have an economy that creates the kinds of jobs that we need for our people, we must have the best educated workforce in the world. And here is a truth, which is an unpleasant truth, but it's a truth nonetheless. And that is, 30 or so years ago, we had in this country the highest percentage of college graduates of any nation on earth. We were number one. Today, we are number 11. That is not what America is supposed to be about. And today, what Governor Cuomo is proposing is a revolutionary idea for higher education. And it's an idea that it's going to reverberate not only throughout the state of New York, but throughout this country. And what that idea is that it is basically insane to tell the young people of this country, we want you to go out and get the best education you can. We want you to get the jobs of the future. Oh, but by the way, after you leave school, you're going to be $30,000, $50,000, $100,000 in debt. You're going to graduate school, you're going to medical school, you're going to dental school, well, you may be a couple of $100,000 in debt. And you're going to have to spend decades paying off that debt. And if you don't pay off that debt, when you're old, they may garnish your Social Security payment to pay off that debt. Our job is to encourage every person in this country to get all of the education he or she can, not to punish them for getting that education. And even more importantly, what the governor's proposal is telling today the people of New York State, tomorrow the rest of the country, is something enormously profound. And that is, if you are a kid in Queens whose family, like my family, never had a whole lot of money, whose parents never went to college, who today does not believe that you will ever be able to get a college education, what today's message is about is, if you are in the fourth or fifth grade, if you start studying hard, you will, in fact, be able to get the college education you need to make it to the middle class, regardless of the income of your family. That is revolutionary. That is a message that is going to provide hope and optimism for working-class families all across the state. And here is a prediction that I make. In urging the New York State Legislature to follow the governor's lead, to pass this legislation, here's my prediction. If New York State does it this year, mark my words, state after state will follow. And the day will come when we understand that public education in America is not simply kindergarten through high school, but that public education in the year 2017 means making public colleges and public universities tuition-free. Governor Cuomo, thank you so much. Thank you.
Cuomo's proposal would have the free tuition program beginning in the fall. The governor's plan would require approval by the legislature. New York has the nation's largest public university system with 440,000 students spread among 64 campuses across the state. And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York.
But you lost your job, yeah, this is your life. You got no hope, you got no plan. But the billionaire, yeah, he's your man. Cause Trump is on your side. Yeah, Trump is on your side. He's a billionaire who got a free ride. But he's on your side. Work so hard doing everything right, but you're wide awake in the middle of the night. You're all alone and you're filled with fear. And the billionaire says what you need to hear, cause Trump is on your side. Yeah, Trump is on your side. He's never really worked a day in his life, but he's on your side. Don't you worry, cause he really cares about you and me. When he doesn't pay his workers and he calls them slobs, it's only cause he cares about American jobs. Of course he's got your back, and he cares about the middle class. Even if he was raised by a billionaire, you know it don't matter, cause he really does care. Cause Trump is on your side. Yeah, Trump is on your side. He's telling you the truth even when he lies, cause he's on your side. Yeah, Trump is on your side. Yeah, he's on your side. He laughs at soldiers who've fallen and died, but he's on your side.
Moby and the Homeland Choir with Trump is on your side. And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York. Vice President-elect Mike Pence outside Trump Tower today said he and the president-elect will meet with congressional representatives tomorrow on Capitol Hill. And he reaffirmed that the new administration will go after the Affordable Health Care Act.
We'll focus on repealing and replacing Obamacare. We'll look forward to legislation that will give us the tools to roll back the avalanche of red tape and regulation that have been stifling American jobs and growth, but the president-elect has a very clear message to Capitol Hill, and that is it's time to get to work, and it's time to keep our word to the American people to make this country great again.
Meanwhile, Democratic senators are urging supporters of the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, to defend it from Republican efforts to repeal it.
The president-elect has said that there are several parts of the Affordable Care Act he favors. We'll hold him accountable to that.
Chuck Schumer, New York Senator and new minority leader of the Senate at the opening of the 115th Congress today.
The ACA extended affordable health care to 30 million Americans. We ask the president-elect, if you repeal the ACA, what are you going to do to protect these 30 million people? And how are you going to ensure that a kid right out of college can stay on his parents' or her parents' plan? That the mother with a child who has a pre-existing condition can get health care for her child, that women everywhere are not charged more for their care simply because they're a woman. It is not acceptable to repeal the law, throw our health care system into chaos, and then leave the hard work for another day. Mr. President-elect, what is your plan to make sure all Americans can get affordable health care? So, we will hold the president-elect accountable.
And Senate Minority Leader Schumer criticizes Trump for doing the opposite of what he said he'd do to drain the swamp with his picks to fill his cabinet. And he warns against a Twitter presidency.
The issues facing this country are many. We have a lot of work to do. Creating jobs, raising incomes, making college and health care affordable, rebuilding our infrastructure, making trade laws work for the American worker, keeping Americans safe from threats of violence and terrorism, taking care of our vets. Now, each one takes serious thought and action. These issues are too important for mere words. Our challenges too entrenched for mere tweeting. Making America great again requires more than 140 characters per issue. With all due respect, America cannot afford a Twitter presidency. We have real challenges and we have real needs to get things done. And many Americans are afraid, Mr. President-elect, that instead of rolling up your sleeves and forging serious policies, for you, Twitter suffices. There's nothing wrong with using Twitter to speak to the American people. It's a good use of modern media. But these issues are complex and demand both careful consideration and action. We cannot tweet them away.
New York Senator Chuck Schumer, new Senate Minority Leader, as Congress convened today for its first session of 2017. And this is the news on WBAI in New York. In Newark, New Jersey, a federal judge says an upscale town violated anti-discrimination laws by insisting that a proposed mosque have more parking spaces than churches or synagogues because of its unique worship times and traditions. The judge this weekend ruled that Bernards Township violated the Religious Land Use and Institutional Persons Act by applying a different standard to Muslims. The mosque's attorney calls it a landmark ruling. In other news, the Congressional Black Caucus held a ceremonial swearing-in to honor current and newly elected members in Washington, D.C. today. Representative G.K. Butterfield from North Carolina is the outgoing chair of the Congressional Black Caucus.
2016 is now in our rearview mirror. What a year. We find ourselves facing a very difficult political and legislative environment, unlike any that we have ever seen before. But I promise you, the CBC will rise to the occasion and we will meet these new challenges. The consequences are too enormous for us to be indecisive and allow ultra-conservative forces and the forces of the alt-right to defend our nation. We will be strategic and we will be unified in our work in the next Congress.
Then Butterfield introduces the new chair.
There is no question that Cedric Levon, he told me to say L, but I'm going to say Levon. Cedric Levon Richmond, that's what his mama named him. Don't blame me. But there is no question that this brother, Cedric Levon Richmond, Generation X, is well suited and well prepared to lead us in confronting these new challenges. Cedric, I'm proud of you. You know that. These baby boomers, most of these that I'm looking at, these baby boomers are proud of you, and we are ready to get to work. We know that you will take this caucus to a new level, to a different level of advocacy to protect our constituents from the harm that will be inflicted if we don't fight back. Cedric, this is your time. I look forward to working with you. And most importantly, I look forward to following your leadership as you lead 49 members of this great caucus, the largest caucus in our history.
Just to be clear, that's 49 members from 49 different districts speaking with one voice.
43-year-old Cedric Richmond has been a congressional representative from Louisiana since 2011. He was born in New Orleans. He serves on the House Committee on Homeland Security and the House Committee on the Judiciary. He leads a caucus with two members serving in the U.S. Senate. The other 47 members are in the House of Representatives. Congressmember Richmond.
Our members are in leadership and head committees on every major issue debated in Congress. Our members are on the forefront of providing the moral clarity and intellectual strength to light America's path forward. Our members represent 78 million Americans, 24% of the population, and 17 million African Americans, representing 41% of the African American population in this country. And that population is spread out through different parts of the country. Urban centers, suburban neighborhoods, and rural counties.
Accepting the leadership, Richmond pays tribute to those who came before him.
The heroes and sheroes that came before us. Legendary people like John Lewis and Eleanor Holmes Norton, who remind us of the progress our country has made and our people have seen. Revolutionary leaders like Maxine Waters and Bobby Rush, who remind us of the many battles that we have waged and the many battles we have won. Social justice warriors like Jim Clyburn and Elijah Cummings, who show us every day the importance of fighting, fighting for what's right and fighting for what's just. Brilliant luminaries like Bobby Scott and Barbara Lee, who help light this nation's path to a more prosperous and inclusive future. And our next generation of strong, courageous leaders like Yvette Clark, Hakeem Jeffries, Andre Carson, Mark Vesey, and the list goes on, and you see the talent up here. However, we will miss a profound opportunity if we only gather to celebrate. We will not do the people we represent justice if we don't acknowledge the mood of people of color throughout this nation. There are many Americans, especially Black Americans, who can't understand how we got here today, coming off of 8 years of hope, pride, and inspiration. They are fearful of the current state of division, hate, and pettiness. Many of our young people are frustrated with the fact that they seem to be fighting the same causes that Dr. King and Reverend Jackson and John Lewis and many others galvanized the country behind during the civil rights movement. And that's jobs, justice, and common humanity. In 1853, Theodore Parker, the abolitionist, Unitarian minister, and quintessential thinker, told us, "I do not pretend to understand the moral universe. The arc is a long one, but from what I see, I am sure it bends towards justice." As I close, I want to tell you what you can expect from the CBC this Congress. We will confront those who seek to divide us. We will be clear about our demands on behalf of Black people across this country. We will venture outside of Washington regularly to engage our people in the places that they live, in the places that they work, and in the places that they worship. We will heed the many lessons from our leaders who came before, but we will innovate and evolve to tackle the challenges of today. We will be deliberate in our thoughts and actions, and we will engage on our own terms. We have the strength and the courage of our ancestors who survived the Middle Passage, who survived slavery and segregation and Jim Crow. And in that spirit, we won't give in, we won't give up, and we won't fall back. We will continue to bend the arc towards justice.
new chair of the Congressional Black Caucus, Louisiana Representative Cedric Richmond. And that's the WBA on Evening News for Tuesday, January 3rd, 2016. The news was produced with Reggie Johnson, Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.